This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to a verse in the first epistle of Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. In that particular verse, there is a summing up of our Christian faith to a great degree. And it is believed that this verse is a verse of a hymn, is part of an ancient hymn that was sung in the early church. It's not the only verse. There are others, and you can see there are others by implication there that must be developed as well in that particular hymn. And it has a great deal with of the truth that we would be thinking about this morning. And if I can just point out the poetry of it to you, it isn't to be seen clearly as poetry in English, as it is in its original, but rather you can see the poetry in the balance of the thought here. These three points. The weakness of flesh, manifest in the flesh, vindicated by the spirits to balance. Seen of angels, as compared to preached amongst the nations. Then, thirdly, the world below and glory above. Those are the three little points there, with two balancing with one thought and the other thought in each one of them. And then the whole verse altogether belongs to a theme of the adoration of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you again. Without any argument, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, the mystery is Christ himself. He is the secret of our devotion. He is the purpose, the object of our chief delight. Great is the mystery of godliness. God the Son, should be there, was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, that's the first balance, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, received up into glory. And that's a verse I'd like to bring to you this morning. And with this thought, when our hearts are very much thinking of the birth of Jesus Christ, and with thanksgiving in our hearts that in such a world as this that there is hope, when men still do, and they certainly did then, sit in darkness and the shadow of death, that light came into this world, but it only is relevant when light comes to our own hearts. Now, the points I'd like to bring from that verse are these. The first thing that I see there is the illumination of the soul, or enlightenment. And then the incarnation of the Lord, and then the invitation to mankind. Just a few minutes on each of those. The illumination of the soul. The whole verse refers to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And the idea within that verse or that hymn is to say, we have a secret, but that secret has been revealed. In the Old Testament, be regarded as the mystery and great prophecies. When we think of Isaiah 53, describing Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then the prophecies are fulfilled. And another way of saying it is the mystery that could only be seen dimly through the veil of prophecy. The mystery is revealed in the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. And you remember this verse in Galatians. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. At the right time, in the right place, for a great purpose, this event took place. And whatever else there may be in this world, and however sincere man's idea of religion may be, This is the distinctive mark of Christianity. It is a revealed religion. There are many efforts of men to reach God, and by some performance of their thoughts or their bodies or something, to try and reach God or please God. But here is a revealed religion, and it is unique. In one of the carols, and we'll be singing shortly anyway, there are these tremendous words. Thinking of God the Son in glory, mild, he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. It's summed up there beautifully, this great thrust of the revelation of the mystery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that is to the world. But that could have happened and has happened. And for you and myself, it could be meaningless. Unless there has been a personal revelation to each one of us. No one can believe in Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit has regenerated him, illuminated. That act of the Holy Spirit and the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit, when he approaches our soul and quickens and regenerates and makes alive. There's turmoil then. There's bound to be a great conflict and battle going on. What is almost like a birth pang. And there, when it eventually leads to our conversion, exactly like a seed put to the ground, there is life in that seed. There's very little to see. And then you see the stem, and then the bud, and then the flower. When the flower comes, we are delighted. Similar, we can say this. There the Holy Spirit gives that seed of life. There's very little to be seen. But before long, there's quite a conflict and a turmoil going on. And there appears within our heart the shoot of faith. And ultimately, it's put in Christ and opens in conversion in the day when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are illuminated by God. We could have heard the gospel many, many times. We'd have sung 1,000 hymns, listened to 1,000 sermons. But until the Holy Spirit comes and he mediates Christ, and Christ takes away the veil of unbelief, and we are able to say, he's revealed to me. I see what you mean. He is the Son of God. Illuminated. Enlightened. It makes the Christian faith a living thing to our hearts and souls. And we are born then to be men and women of grace. That's the background picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. Revealing a mystery to a world generally. There'll be many people today who in some way will acknowledge Christ. That's fair enough, because there's a fact that is known and remembered. But for the believer, there has been that individual enlightenment where faith has been born in his heart and he has believed. Peter puts it like this: we have obtained like precious faith. John puts it like this: we love him because he first loved us. Paul puts it like this: by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Illuminated, enlightened, and you're able to say that day, whether it is Christmas day or no, he has been born in me. I have been enlightened. The mystery is revealed in my heart. Second point then is this: the incarnation of the Lord. What do we learn? The next few lines in this verse: who was manifest in the flesh. Now, this is a remarkable thing about the person of Jesus Christ. You and I, we have one nature. He has two. He has perfect humanity, absolute deity. He is a man that is able to sympathize with our frailty and our weakness. He is God that is able to help us. If you were a man alone, he'd merely sympathize with us. But he's God in that he's able to do things that will rescue our soul from eternal damnation. Two natures in one person. So here we have God the Son, who was displayed, manifest in the flesh. Let me read you verses by Paul. From Philippians, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's our Savior. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, now the purpose of it, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, that is where we have now the incarnation, the purpose of his coming. He lived in order to die. He died in order that we might live. What is that great hour, which is the preparation, that great hour that he has that prepares us for heaven? It is the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even as a child, we are able to say the shadow of Calvary is on him. The purpose that he's come for is there, already there, that he might be fulfilled in the fullness of time. A place where our sins are laid on the Savior. A person who paid the punishment for our sin. The punishment that we could not bear. Equal in intensity to eternal damnation. So that he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That there is that eclipse as if he is forsaken of God. He pays the debt in full. The depth is there. And it is small wonder that we say, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. When we have been illumined, when we have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, then the incarnation, we believe that he is virgin born. We believe that he is the only begotten Son of God. We believe in his sinless life, which imputes righteousness to us. We believe that he died on Calvary as a punishment for our sin. We believe that there was a real and a physical resurrection. We believe he ascended to glory. And this is our Savior, our great fundamental truth. When do we believe this? When we have been enlightened, the incarnation takes on a glorious meaning today. No doubt on this Christmas day, there will be many leaders in religion. As they have denied the resurrection, they will deny the virgin birth today. But let us show that people's God still has his people who have the mystery revealed in their heart. Great is the mystery of our devotion. Great is the Christ of our godliness. Great is the Christ of our devotion. The mystery means Christ, and Christ revealed in us. Manifest in the flesh. The next phrase, justified in the Spirit, or the word vindicated. Vindicated in the Spirit. It's as if the Spirit was saying, a great amen to all that Jesus is. He comes to Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. There we see the great amen of the Holy Spirit. Then we come to his baptism and the great amen of the Holy Spirit. He came as a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. We have him in the time of his great temptation. We have him there also. The Spirit helps him, and so on. We can go to the great vindication of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ, and especially in his resurrection. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Vindicated by the spirits, seen of angels. When? At his birth, glory to God in the highest. There, when he was tempted, not only is he helped by the Holy Spirit there, he is ministered to by angels. In Gethsemane, where he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not my will, thy will be done. Angels minister to him there. At the resurrection, they are there at the grave and say, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? At his ascension to glory, why do you stand staring? He shall come again the second time in glory. Manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen of angels. The incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery. Great is the Christ of our godliness. Why do we want to be godly people? Why do we desire in this life that we should live a separated life from sinfulness and desire that in every part of our being, our mind, our thought, our actions, that we might be saintly and godly people, that we might be Christ-like? The whole purpose of our life now is that we might be prepared for glory. Whatever we suffer here, we do not worry about promises that we have to have things in this world. Our joy is this, that we stand for our Savior here, even in martyrdom, even in adversity, because we believe. Great is the secret we have. Great is the mystery of our godliness. It must have baffled the soldiers in that first few centuries when men and women were killed for the sake of Jesus Christ. Why did they not grumble and say, why can't we have the best of life? Why can't we have this, that, and the other? But they sang praises to God because they knew that they had life that shall endless be, because they knew that they should be forever with the Lord. It was a mysterious thing. And when you see people going through trials and afflictions of all kinds, and yet they look up at you with joy in their faces and in their hearts, that they know that they are never alone. What is their secret? What is the mystery in all our situations? Great is the Christ of our godliness. Great is the Christ of our devotion. Then lastly, the invitation to mankind. Preached unto the Gentiles. Matthew, towards the end there, go ye therefore. Because of his birth, because of his life, because of his death, because of his resurrection, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. To preach the gospel. That's what we delight in doing here. And may God give us grace as a church. It's been a faithful old church from its very beginning. And may it be faithful to the very end of the use of this building, whenever that will be. Let it be a faithful old place where men and women believe in Jesus Christ. And where the simple, pure, clean gospel is preached. And where a simple, pure life is encouraged. And that we should live to the glory of our God. And let us send men and women from here to every corner of the world that they might preach the gospel. Go ye therefore, because we believe. And may God always have mercy upon us that this simplicity and purity of faith may be ours. Preached unto the Gentiles. And then, as well as that, may I add this verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then the next phrase, believed on in the world. Well, that's true. There's no corner of this world where there is not a believer. Believed on in the world. And not only in the world geographically, but in the world of sin. From the very depths of degradation, men have been rescued. And from the very depths of delusion, men also have been delivered, believed on in the world. And from the very depths of despair, men have been brought out. And from the very worst of bondage in this world, men have been brought out, believed on in the world, and believed on in our hearts. And then the last phrase, received up into glory. You remember this verse in Hebrews? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And do you remember those words that he said on Calvary? It is finished. What was finished? The penalty was paid. Justice is satisfied. God will accept us. It is finished. It's vindicated also by his resurrection and also by his receiving into glory and to heaven itself, and the welcome there in glory for him. And he's able to say before God the Father, it is finished. What is finished? A way for man to rise to that sublime abode. An offering, a sacrifice, a Holy Spirit's energies, an advocate with God. It is finished. And this is the way God hath ordained in this blessed and holy gospel in which we believe. He was received up into glory, where he is now on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And when we pray, he intercedes for us. And in his merit, he presents our petitions to God the Father. Great is the mystery. Great is the Son. Great is the revealed mystery. Great is the Christ, who is the explanation of our godliness. Why should we live godly lives? Why should we be deprived of the ambitions of this world? Ah, it is a mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Great is the mystery of our godliness. Great is the mystery of our devotion. Great is the mystery of our adoration. It's a hymn, an ancient hymn, that the Holy Spirit saw fit to be included in the scriptures themselves. And without any kind of argument and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee and pray for all our hearts here, that the truths in that verse might be revealed to us, that there might be an illumination within our hearts, an enlightenment, an understanding, and for those who know thee, that we might delight in so great a gospel and so great a revealed mystery, who is the mystery and the explanation of our hearts and our lives and our chief delight and our desire. O Lord, we thank thee and we love thee, we praise thee, we worship thee, and ask thee to bless every individual, young and old, and all ages, in families or on our own, whatever our situation may be. May thy good hand be upon us, O Lord, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen.